Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Detroit Sound Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, and Matt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 57 of the Better on Draft podcast. This is not
you? Wait, what?
This is not Dan. This
no.
is Ken.
Who are you? I'm confused.
I can't think of a famous number 57 right now.
Me.
Heinz
57. There we go.
I was thinking of like a football player.
I thought you were talking about Heinz Ward when you said that. I'm like,
no, Heinz Ward.
Is he number 57?
No, I believe he's referring to the ketchup bottle.
My bad.
Way to go, Dan. Anyways, this is Ken back from the West Coast. I did listen to
it's
your guys' show live last week. Very interesting, to say the
Fun
least.
Show.
It was fantastic.
We got a little tanked. We definitely drank a lot of beer you wanted.
Yeah, I was texting you while every time you mentioned a beer. Yeah, I know. Every time you mentioned a beer you brought, especially because one of my favorites he has is Castle Bright.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're kidding me. Out of all the beers that Dragon Mead does, he brings Castle Bright.
And you know what? Good. You can find it at Zatuna Liquor.
You can find it at Zatuna Liquor. Wow, that was quick.
Too soon. Way too soon.
That's because they're bottling it now.
Yes, that's why I brought it. They were in package.
So we'll start off with you, Matt. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Ken. How's your day going?
Is it a natty daddy?
I'm doing well. You know, it is not a natty daddy. It's from the Matt Bush Legacy series of just Bush beer.
There's no C in my name, though.
25 ounces.
Yeah, it's a Bush Diesel, though, not a Bush Light.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, so come correct.
That's a type of Bush.
Is that one of those? Hold on. Is that one of those collector cans that
Damn
they have?
Skippy, this is the largemouth bass.
The largemouth bass collector can.
Is that going to end up on your mantle after you drink it? You know, collector's edition.
I don't know where
can.
I would put that on my mantle. I don't have a mantle to put. Yes, next to all the growlers I have, I will put a can of Bush Heaven.
I'm in. I was going to say, yeah, nothing wrong with that. What do you? Oh, so you're drinking Bush.
I'm drinking Bush. We have a bunch of. Great stuff, but I'm going to wait till the guest.
Yes. Rob, what's going on?
Oh, not much. Just kind of sitting around, drinking some beer.
Drinking some
with
beer.
You guys.
What are you drinking?
I am drinking
Sonic.
I'm double fisting right now. I got a Sonic Vanilla Slush in one hand and a Sweet Baby Jesus in the other.
All right. How's the Sweet Baby Jesus?
It's as peanut buttery as I remember, but still. Still second place to Jaden James.
Bingo.
So how much vodka did you put in that Sonic cup? Because that seems like what you would do with that. No?
I should have.
Vanilla. Oh, I don't know. Like a lot of people
keep the flavored vodka crap. We don't need that.
Well, he had a vanilla shake plus vodka would be vanilla vodka.
Oh, well,
Come on, Dan.
You meant add the vanilla. No.
Pay attention to this game.
Vanilla vodka is only good when you mix it with Coke and actually make
vodka and Coke?
Vanilla vodka.
I mean, the door's right there. Yeah. If you're going to put something in Coke, it's going to be Jack or Captain's.
That's acceptable too. I'm not ruling that out.
What about like vodka, rum, and tequila and sour mix? Is that how you make a Long Island?
Is it?
Pretty much.
I don't know.
I mean, you're getting
a little coast. That's like a little bit of everything. That's like jungle juice. I'm talking like.
Welcome to Better on the Rocks.
Better on the Rocks. I think that'll be our show in 5 months.
Better off draft.
Better off draft. Dan, what are you drinking over there?
I'm actually here. My new Newcastle, which is the milkshake stout.
Your
Newcastle. Yeah.
It's a season, you know. You gotta change the beers for the season, just like your other beer that you have.
No, that's still good.
That's still good. That's the year round.
That's the annual.
But that's only 24 ounces. Matt's can.
I know he's
25.
One of me with the 25.
This is what happens.
I'm impressed.
When you own America, is you get that extra ounce because you really earn it.
What is that? Is that like 8%? Is that their high?
No, it's like 5.3 maybe.
Oh, damn, I was going to say that.
I would
natty.
Not want to like that. The natty daddy was terrible 2 weeks ago.
That was fantastic. What are you guys talking about?
Tasted like soap.
I don't know where you got soap from that, but
I don't know either. I don't know where you got that can from. This where
probably the same place I got. No, I don't know.
Yeah,
where
the
I got
same
it.
The like same out where it was sitting right next to the dial. It was perfect
next to the dial.
Or is the dial just accidentally in the beer aisle?
And somehow got in the can.
I was going to say somebody was drunk that day.
David Blaine was working the line at the bottling factory.
Watch me put this soap in the can and then back out.
It's like a bad Family Guy like cutscene.
That's like the time that David Blaine put soap in my beer. We can cut it now. We'll see if we can get like a graphic artist to whip something up for that
really
one.
Really bad sketch artist.
Really bad sketch.
Just send this last 15 Stick seconds to Seth MacFarlane and see what happens.
So we do have a guest right now. We do have from Atwater Brewing over in downtown. Matt, how you doing?
Good. How's everybody doing?
We're all right. So you were over at the downtown brewery, correct?
I'm everywhere, brother.
What is your position at Atwater?
Brewing operations manager.
Brewing. Does that mean head brewer, or is there a different?
It's basically head brewer.
Yeah. Okay.
For the company, so I cover all of our locations, keeping uniformity in the brand, and yeah, a lot of fun stuff. A lot of travel.
How long have you been with Atwater?
Going on a year now.
Going on a year, so you're a newbie to Atwater itself. Were you somewhere before Atwater? Because obviously, I don't know if you can really become the head brewer of a major company like that with no experience prior.
It would have been a lot more fun to just step into that position. I don't know how well I would have done. No, I was with Saugatuck before that, and Tri-City Brewing out of Bay City.
Okay.
Prior to that.
Hey, Tri-City.
We had Kevin on before.
Yeah.
On one of our shows.
You brought Kevin Peel out, huh?
Yeah, he came all the way down.
Drove down.
I love that show.
Too, yeah.
Was it the Giant Slayer or the Dragon Slayer? That's the Barrel Age.
The Dragon Slayer.
Yeah. That was
really
wild.
Yeah.
And the Hellas. The Hellas was really good too.
That was pretty decent.
Amazing.
It's not your average style that you go to a brewery and get, and they make such a solid beer that when he brought it down, that we didn't have any more left over. I still have a few Dragon Slayers.
Giant Slayers. Yeah, those are pretty decent.
Those are still in my refrigerator.
Those are good.
We drank all of them here. So, so you're the head brewer, brewer manager. So what do you do in a single day? Like, what is your job task for? Like,
he brews beer, Ken.
No, not for.
This is what only day, like an hour and a half show, Ken.
I haven't touched. Yeah, we only have an hour and a half. So, I haven't really touched the brewing systems in a while. I do get a couple days here and there where it's fun. I can go, play on the 5-hex 6 systems at either of our pub locations, but. It's more or less just making new recipes and letting my operators, go to work and do what they do, So the game has totally changed for me, which sucks, to be honest. I really love to be hands-on. I love to, make the beer. But, you have to grow with your career and, grow with the company you're with. So it's been a pretty cool experience thus far, especially at Atwater, but it's a lot more work.
So when did you start? Did you homebrew before you went to Tri-City?
I did.
What was your first batch?
Oh Jesus, dude! Like something overpriced kit of half DME and just a bunch of garbage. But I loved it. The fact that I got to do it on do it myself, and that whole 5 gallons of beer lasted forever, it was homebrewing was that thing, that spark, it was just like, wow, I can do this. And I really came into it from being part of the festival community, and this is back 2006-ish, 2005. So it was a really, really tight-knit community back then. There weren't that many, breweries, not like now in Michigan. So,
we've talked about the growth over the last 10 years and how exponentially it has grown. Even you're looking at there's still, especially in the Detroit area, you have the names that everyone remembers still. You have Atwater, Kunin, Dragon Mead, even to an extent Great Baraboo. Sherwood's definitely up there, Arbor. So you have a lot of these breweries that have Black Lotus. That have been around for a while, and there's so much competition that's coming up year after year after year. Looking at Detroit, Detroit's opened up two within the last year and a half themselves. And that's it's one of those things to where it's hard to really – you have to keep doing something better and better. And I think that's what I like about Atwater is you've got the Atwater in the park, which is really a lot different than the Atwater Brewery downtown because it's a lot of small batch – different beers, beers that you're not really able to try at the original Atwater. But when I went to Atwater recently, I mean, there's still a decent tap list there for the Detroit one.
We do have a – we have 20 taps there. You know, they're normally occupied by stuff that we do at, you know, Rivertown downtown. So the park's great. You know, we got Brad Etheridge over there. He's been there for a couple of years, basically since the opening. And – you know, young brewer. I mean, the guy's just got a lot of great ideas. You know, he goes 110% all the time. You know, and trying to make that next big beer. You know, even though he is working on a smaller system, you know, we've got large scale in mind. So, and he's done very well. Actually, the Lango, our mango wheat came from Brad and his system and absolutely kills it on the market, you know.
So with Atwater, how is the Austin, Texas brewery? Is that still in the works? Is that coming up in 2017 still, or is that
our owner Mark Reith just touched down this afternoon from Texas from another meeting? Everything is getting set in place. The building is about ready to go. We're going to drop equipment in December. And commissioning will start, you know, mid-January, and hopefully we'll be brewing by mid-February.
Do you plan on recreating some of the brands up from Detroit down there, or is this going to be kind of its own little entity separate?
I'm going to use the facility to cover a lot of distribution, you know, in the west side of the country. I mean, it allows me to push Dirty Blonde and VJP further than we can here, you know. We really don't have the means to cover that kind of production or distribution as it is right now, even with utilizing Brew Detroit. So we're going to get to push those brands, but my goal is to go in and actually brew beer specifically for, you know, Texas.
Okay.
I want people to come out there and feel like we did something that, you know, is about what they're, you know, it's a growing beer community out there. It's a growing beer scene. You know, I want to bring a part of Detroit there, and I also want to embrace the beer culture there and, you know, give these guys what they really are after.
Have you guys talked to any breweries down in Texas about doing, like, welcome collabos, like Shiner or
like that? So the brewery itself is kind of a collaboration. We have Uncle Billy's, which is an established brand there, and the Flemish Fox, which is Christine Sellis, Pierre Sellis' daughter. You know, you guys all know, you know, Sellis White.
Yeah. Hoegaarden.
Yes. So, you know, we're going to collab, you know, with our breweries that we're involved with immediately, and I'm more than welcome to do anything with anybody down there. You know, a lot of great breweries, a lot of awesome emerging breweries that, you know, not only took medals this year at GABF, but, you know, these guys are, their beer scene is their own. You know, we're glad to be a part of it, and I really can't wait to pick some of these guys' brains. And
did you guys hit up GABF this year?
We did.
What did you did you throw anything into the competitions?
We did.
You're laughing. It's like it's an extremely hard competition.
He was so obviously like in the malt liquor division. That's a tough one.
It was Nick that we had here who was like his ninja pirate was in like stout / icebox / malt liquor category.
And Pipe and Rock was here. He's like, no wonder we never win. You got E40 in there. It's a tough one to beat. King Cobra rolls in. They're like, you ain't beating this every year, right?
Pretty much.
So being down in Texas, I know one of the things that's always critical is like the pH of the water. Now, you've been brewing beer out of Detroit for so long. Do you think that you're going to be able to get the same kind of content out of the water down there? Because, I mean, we're talking here, you're right on the major body of water, and Texas is kind of almost desert.
Yeah. So, I mean, everything's different everywhere you move. Even Grand Rapids, when I moved over there, I get the water reports, and it's just – it's all about, you know, we're not – obviously in Grand Rapids, we're not trying to make something that's uniform with what we're doing here in large scale. So down there, it's going to be very critical to, you know, analyze the water reports and bring our brands as close as possible. So water treatment is a huge thing. We've already gone over and over and over again. So we're going to – we have what we need available to make the water – you know, acceptable for our product.
Do you plan to expand further west now that you're more available? Where, what other markets do you think you're going to be in?
It's hard to say, man. I really, you know, we have a great sales team, a great national sales team. Robert De La Rosa kills it, you know, out there on the road. I'm going to leave it to those guys as to where they want to launch next. South Dakota is coming up later this month.
An interesting choice.
It is. I was invited on that launch, and I don't know if
I'm going to sell outside Mount Rushmore. Or what are you guys doing out there? There's not a lot of people there when you think about
we're setting up a fruit stand or a beer stand.
Native Americans are going to be going nuts over that. Like, oh, beer. I probably shouldn't go there. It's kind of brutal.
Just a little. Just a little bit, Dan.
You're selling jean jackets.
They need hydration, too.
On jean jackets. If you sell beer / jean jackets, you'll corner the market.
No? Corner the market.
Hair ties, too.
Who uses hair ties?
All the hippies.
People like me and Native Americans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Occasionally Val Kilmer.
So talk to us a little
bit. We're going way too
far. Fat Val Kilmer.
Don't scalp me, bro. Come on.
So what's going on in Grand Rapids right now? How's that going? What's new and exciting out there versus...
Grand Rapids is awesome, dude. I mean, it's we've had a very, very, very warm welcome from the community out there, especially the beer community. You know, everybody's just awesome. I mean, I know a lot of guys out there, a lot of brewers, you know, and they're just excited that we're there. And, you know, it's kind of weird when you come in as a brewery from the east side, and you're like, are we going to mesh? Is it going to be okay? And then, no, it's been open arms, you know. Really what we had going right away was kind of food, and, you know, we hadn't had the brewery commissioned up until this week, actually. So now that the brewery is running and we're actually making beer out there, you know, we're going to have our own Grosse Pointe Park, you know, in GR. And, you know, I'm really excited to see, you know, the reception of what beers come out of that, you know, and how – you know, how I put a brewer out there that I actually kind of sniped from Saugatuck after I left. You know, I was like, yeah, you know, I really trust this guy, you know, I love him to death, and, you know, he's got vision. And I brought him over, and he actually, he's been acting lead brewer at Atwater up until this week. So I'm really excited to see what he rolls out over there.
Does he have, are there new things on deck that are like more big Grand Rapids inspired or that are just different?
Well, this would be second deck, right?
Sure. Let's go with that.
to a lesser extent of what we want to do in Austin, you know, we really merging the two big cities, you know, we're going to bring kind of our style over there and, you know, embrace whatever's already there. I mean, it's a vast amount of really, you know, picky beer drinkers and then not so picky beer drinkers. So I think we're going to find people, you know, falling kind of in love with what we do already. We've already seen that, you know, with the brews that we brought over from Detroit, which has been, you know, everything up until this point, you know, so up and until about 7 days from now, when these beers start coming out of tanks, I'm not really sure, you know, how we're going to take these new beers.
Are you busting barrels from Detroit to Grand Rapids to keep the taps
open? Yeah, we're actually we have 40 taps out there. So wow. I mean, it's not sustainable from a 5-hectoliter, you know, brew house with, you know, 8 fermenters. But we're planning to, you know, keep half of those taps on, you know, from that location.
Right on.
Wow.
But so, yes, we are actually shipping out through Imperial, you know, beer from our other locations. And
you can't just send that within yourself? Is that The state won't let that happen, even though it's the same flag. Yeah, right?
We can send in bonds. That would also require us to buy a truck and license it. Yeah. There's a bunch of other money. We really
just load a U-Haul and call it a week after.
I wouldn't settle on you.
It's government.
Like,
it says Utah on the side of the building. You're just moving for anybody who knows. No one has to know there's like 100 barrels of beer in the back. No one's telling.
I was going to say, you're going to get caught with trooper's going to see you and see that low ride in U-Haul is like, you
littering it in.
I still remember this had to have been 14 years ago when I worked at a computer company, and we were moving parts from Kentucky up to Michigan, and we had overloaded the truck for weight to the point where the truck was pretty low riding. So the trooper had to literally, like, pulled us over, followed us for miles, pulled us over and made us go to the truck weigh station, and we were way overweight. So we had to go find another truck. So we had to drive, like, somebody had to, like, get to a different area to rent a truck to drive back to unload to be able to drive because he wasn't going to let us away. And this was days before Uber and...
What did you do, hitchhike?
We called a cab.
From a way station?
We called a cab from a way station.
Jesus.
That's all we could do. There was definitely a loss on that trip, that's for sure.
Was this like a U-Haul?
No, this was just a buddy's... one of those free candy vans. I don't know what the full size van.
Like those Econolines, like those big Ford rape vans.
Yeah,
crap. Wow.
Free candy van.
Did you have a sweet mural on the side of it?
No, it just said free candy. Come on, isn't that what they all say? At least that's what the guy that sold me had said.
Said it was standard.
Carl's always says not a rape van, just because people, don't want to know it's a rape van.
Ah, it was the bang bus.
Oh, there we go. Mm. Not the booty lounge, right?
Not the booty lounge. Is that thing still existing?
I don't think so.
Why didn't we look for that a couple of weeks ago?
We didn't go to Eastern Market. We just walked.
Like, we could stop by.
After I was drinking barrel-aged Scotty Karate before I walked to the...
Before 11 a.m.
Oh, yeah, let's try this, 12% beer.
Here's your barrel-aged beer, and I'll drink this light lager.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah,
worked out evenly.
Good times.
So are you going to be down in Austin at all for the opening, or are you pretty much hiring someone to manage that for the brewery aspect? Because, that's...
There's nothing wrong with Austin, Ken. I'm going.
Well, he might not want to. He's got three breweries in Michigan that he has to oversee.
Yeah, I don't see that stopping anytime soon. But, I'm going to head down for the commissioning and... definitely for the first portion of brewing, I need to be there and, make sure everything is how it needs to be I don't half the country to have one product and, not. And,
you want the consistency, especially if you're going to sell Atwater, if you sell Atwater to someone in California and then someone in California comes to Detroit for, say, the auto show or something like that, and they go to the brewery, they expect the Atwater, Dirty Blonde or Vanilla Java Porter.
What's
that they
had. Say that again?
Vanilla Java Porter.
Looked like that was going in a completely different direction.
Yeah, I saved it.
you almost lost the Illa in there. that could be their barrel-aged version of it.
I'll definitely have to tell you guys a funny joke off in about 17 minutes when we go for break. But that's great. So you guys are going to be expanded to – I know you're in 20X states, so you're going to be expanding to even further. They're like really, really heavy when you get down there, because that's why a lot of breweries from the West Coast went to Asheville and tried to go to Columbus or Ohio to get that East Coast production to make it quicker and easier to ship.
Yep, absolutely.
So are you guys simple, easy? I answered the question for him.
You,
go on,
you
Dan.
Did, you're in Austin. When did you open? I didn't catch.
It's not open.
Oh, you're not open. So are you guys ready for South by Southwest? And when that hits you, that's going to be a huge... There's nothing here that happens compared to that.
No.
I mean, that's still till, what, March, May?
Yeah, but there's nothing in Detroit that happens on the level of that. That's not America's even, one music festival.
Not even like North American Auto Show?
No.
No.
No, we have... America has one North... the U.S. has one music festival.
But is it Southwest, like, or South by Southwest, also like movies and stuff? Like,
no, it's a concert. It's everything. It half the country.
South by Southwest is almost its own entity.
Yeah.
Like, it's completely ridiculous. Like, it makes movement like nothing. Movement is garbage.
If you think like the Download Festival in London or
what's the Techno Fest in Miami? That'd probably be UDM.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's probably
probably going to be the closest in the country.
But like no Burning Man.
No. Right?
No, a lot maybe of people do go to that. I didn't even think about that or Coachella.
I was going to say Burning Man and Coachella are going to be your closest.
But South by Southwest is America's one gathering.
Yeah, right. That's where Obama went, so you know it's the big one.
Which one? His daughter?
Is that where she was smoking pot?
Wow.
I don't care.
Wait a minute. Isn't
thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
Your daughter smoking the pots.
Because didn't X Games move down there, too?
Yeah, but they've already left.
But I thought they were there for like 5 years.
X Games is still a thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, actually there was a huge poll to get it in Detroit Windsor.
Yeah,
And they think they got second in regards to voting and money and stuff.
Austin lost it because they weren't getting the public funding or the funding that was promised. So I think they're moving. They might be going to Florida. I think
I'm surprised they don't like. That's the one thing that makes Detroit such a very possible like great possibility is because you have that dual country Detroit, you know, Canada or Detroit, Canada is Detroit's a country.
It's all fine and dandy until you have to deal with the border going back.
Detroit is Detroit is a country.
As much as you want it to happen, the U.S. border is going to be the issue.
I mean, they're able like Red Bull obviously does their races. Dog. Yeah, the Flutog and the air races. So they're able
crossing a land border though, doing that.
The air races, I don't believe
so.
Yeah,
but what about the powerboat races? Aren't those kind of going in between the Detroit River?
But if you're going on any land thing, I don't worry about Canada. The U.S., the Homeland Security guys are dicks.
I would imagine
straight up dicks. No other way to explain it.
They would figure it out. I mean, they already deal with enough as it is with running a marathon.
Yeah,
I realize that's only one day.
They still run the marathon across the.
Yeah.
The border?
Yeah, the marathon. Okay. I didn't
realize it's still one across the bridge.
Yeah, the starting point is in Detroit. You go over the bridge and then you come back through the tunnel.
Okay, I didn't realize this. So they probably do whatever. They have a thing.
Yeah. I would imagine like if
that's
they
a pain.
Did a U.S. They would just have probably like ferries where only Olympians and press would get certain credentials that could be on these ferries.
They have methods where you can do the pre thing where you can go across or you're pre-approved, but
one thing
I hate is the U.S. border.
Yeah, there's definitely things like did you guys hear about the tubing down the
float down?
Oh,
over in Port Huron.
Where did they end up in Canada?
They ended up in Sarnia. They literally, the wind blew them, and people were jumping out of the tubes because nobody had their IDs or credentials or anything because they're just tubing down the water.
And the Canadian Coast Guard had to bring them back.
Yeah, the Canadian Coast Guard's on it like, just come over here. We will bus you back.
Yeah.
Because everyone's afraid that, you know, they're crossing the border illegally.
They left mounds of trash and tubes on the Canadian coast. It was so,
did they?
There was just like beer cans and plastic bags all over.
Well, it's kind of like a catch 22 in the sense to where, you know, they're probably all scared like shitless at that moment. Like, oh my God, what the hell's going on? Because obviously they still have to get processed. They still have to go through the whole immigration thing just to get back into the country. And here they are attempting to prove who they are without any type of IDs or anything on
them. Half naked.
Yeah. In swimsuits and bikinis. Just like, hey, half drunk. Or baked.
No, fully drunk.
Fully drunk. Fully drunk and baked.
Oh, you're feeding the fishies at that point. Oh,
for God's sakes.
So, yeah, I still remember that. But, I mean, it sounded like, especially from the news articles that I was reading, that the Canadian Border Patrol was pretty friendly about that. But as Dan said, I've never had any, minus one time, never had any issues going into Canada. It's always coming back.
It's always coming back. Always.
I've only had, honestly, the only time I ever got like more than one question was going there. And even when I would smuggle beer back when I was under 21, they never gave me more than two looks.
Must have been before 2001.
Yeah. No, it was.
No, it would have been.
This would have been
probably 05, 06.
05, 06.
I missed the pre 2001 days where it'd be Friday night at 2 a.m. and they're literally just waving you through back into the U.S. Like, come on.
You look
like,
good. You look
care.
Good.
Yeah,
go.
They really
you look,
didn't
you're
care.
Fine. Whatever.
Well, didn't one of our mutual friends, like, were running and screaming in traffic in the tunnel?
Yeah. That's happened. We've had
I've heard that story.
Puking out of a car on the bridge as we're pulling up to a thing.
My
and
friend,
just like, just go.
My friend actually smuggled a cat over the border.
Because, a cat? Is that illegal?
So her cat was just like meowing on the side of the road. So she just grabbed it and put it in her trunk. and he was meowing the whole way home on the border. And she literally, he's still there. After 10 years later, she brought him and adopted him, and now he lives in Oakland Township.
So do you deal with any of the exports in regards to getting Atwater outside of the state or the country? Or is that somebody else's job? Regard.
Exporting out of the state?
Well, I mean, country, with the amount of laws that we have within the United States and different liquor laws, it's practically the exact same thing. It's probably easier to get into Canada than it is some other states in the union.
Thanks, Obama.
Definitely his fault.
Yeah, definitely the guy who brews his own beer at the White House.
Well, it's not just him. They've done that before Obama.
I know. I was being a little
Obama
facetious.
Goes down there and brews the 5-gallon batch. He's down there. He's a kid guy. Man. He's pouring the LME and the DME into the thing.
Wow.
What the hell? Too soon.
Yeah.
Too soon for Obama? What?
Yeah, too soon. He's still. What are you drinking over there?
I just poured some Voodoo Vader.
What is it? Obviously
it
beer.
It says Double Bock High Gravity Lager.
Ooh, give me some of that.
Okay, well, I just poured
Please
it out.
Please and thank you. just pass it to me. So is this one of your recipes, or is this a recipe passed down to you?
This is something that's existed long before I have in the company. There's a couple recipes that were iconic to me before I came to Atwater, things that I've been drinking since I was 21 and maybe
21 younger. Since you were 21.
Never had a drop of alcohol before that.
But, probably my favorite of Atwater's beers, you know, before I was there was Voodoo Vader.
Oh, it's really good.
Very, very few breweries, continue to produce lagers on the scale that we do. And, those that do, cheers, man. I mean, it just takes up a lot of tank space, a lot of time, but the end result is something that we really cherish. And
you've got a great Kolsch too. Your Delight and your Pilsner, phenomenal, that Purple Gang stuff. But do you want one of the lagers that I just poured too?
Come on, let's go.
Bring it out.
I was gonna say lager. The one I can think
two cups
Wolverine.
Is not enough, brother.
Well, Wolverine does all lagers.
That's
yes.
Every Which single is awesome. One of their beers.
And
is
those
a
guys
lager,
are
no
props
what.
To that massacre. I Seriously. Was never a fan of lagers until I had that.
The only time I've seen Massacre this year was Sunday after we did the festival. And we came in to do the show, so it was 11:30, and I'm at the store, and I'm like, nope.
I'm surprised you normally drink barrel-aged by then.
Two days of drinking, and I am going with something soft and easy.
Yeah, I should have did that on Wednesday. I had a company outing to Hopcat, and pretty much the evening went Monkey Butter, which, of course, that is the Jaden James. Until going to Hopcat, I didn't realize it even had a name. And that they call it Monkey Butter.
So what's Monkey Butter?
That's the peanut butter stout.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
that's the I
name
get there.
No, yeah, I'm that's, not drinking that's, it because of that name.
That's what they call it. I was like,
it's
what
like the worst
I'm like,
name?
This is the name?
Jaden James made a different peanut butter stout?
Right, no. So I had that. I followed that up with a mini snifter of Rumpkin, the Avery Pumpkin Ale aged in rum barrels at 18.8%. Followed that up with,
what was your Uber driver's name?
after that, I had the Flying Buffalo, the new 2016 Flying Buffalo from Griffin Claw.
Which variant?
The standard,
not the Great Lakes.
Not the Great Lakes, because I actually went to Great Lakes Roasting and bought a couple bottles before going into Hopcat. So I still
he was ready for after.
Oh, I was ready. I was ready. Wow. And then finish that off with having a massacre afterwards.
So was this a work party or a sporkle party?
It was a work party.
Work party, okay.
Yeah. And you got shit-faced, basically, it sounds like.
No, I was actually...
Dan, I've been to your work parties and have gotten
true.
Shit-faced.
That is true.
I was fine.
I usually can't walk out of those. That's how usually that ends up.
Certainly would not have been a sporkle party because apparently they have geeks who drink... Our other rival, yeah.
That's dirty.
I know.
Who gets that in Detroit?
Apparently they do, which the host wasn't even there. They didn't even have trivia. And I'm looking at the sign that says Wednesdays at 8. It's 8 o'clock. And
you're like, look.
I'm like, all right, where is
you're ready.
Bastard?
I'm ready to play some trivia.
Right. I'm ready to just turn this whole bar out and just make them switch and just get the hell out of here. Yeah.
Don't worry though. It's good when you have a professional company like Quizzo come into your brewery, right, Matt?
Oh yeah.
They are.
Where you can play Quizzo at Atwater Brewery on Monday nights.
You can.
Are you shilling for the other thing now?
Does NTN still exist?
No, it does. Does it really?
Yeah.
Is that the thing where they hand you the...
Yeah, you get the little
playmaker. All over the place. Like
1, 2, 3, 4.
All over the place.
That's awesome.
I knew a lot of bars got rid of it because it was too expensive.
Herman's, where I host on Mondays, they have it.
Red Ox in Rochester.
Fort Street Brewery. Has NTN.
Downriver. Yeah, Muldoon's in Rochester Hills, the place that I actually host trivia, they got rid of NTN and hired Quizzo. And it was so funny as they pissed off there was NTN teams there. This thing gets legit. Like, I didn't realize it until...
The only thing I remember is the damn poker when that was so big.
Yeah, the poker is what a lot of people... remember, like, that's what I remember.
Remember when we stacked it? We were at like a WWE show at
B-Dubs, yeah.
And we stacked it to get it off of poker onto like blackjack or something stupid.
Because they do the voting every like hour to change the game, and so we would always vote to change it to blackjack. I remember that. That was the best. The
only time I saw it as something else besides.
I honestly, until now, poker. I never knew it could be another game. Constant round of.
Yeah, there's like
poker.
Three or four. Four games on there. I wonder if there was Pai Gao on there and we never noticed it.
That would have been sweet.
I would be there for hours.
You would
have
confused everybody. Or Mahjong.
You never played
Mahjong's a good one. You won't find that around here.
No.
Pai Gao is a true game of skill.
Tiles is that where you have to find the red jelly bean?
No.
The red jelly. Nice How I Met Your Mother reference right there.
Baccarat's the other good Asian game you'll find around here.
Baccarat. Yeah, I remember trying to learn Baccarat when we were in that blackjack tournament that we played.
Just always bet bank. You're good. Unless you're going to be the Asian guy sitting there writing down every number because they do figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
And I know we're really going off topic. There was something that happened in Atlantic City where something happened with the shuffler and it was dealing the cards in the same order as it went through the deck and kept shuffling back in the same order. Of course, they figured it out, writing down their patterns, and they took like $2 million out of there before they caught
it.
Yeah.
Well, that's like the guy who like took $6 million in 2 days from Atlantic City casinos and blackjack, because he put in like, all right, I'm gonna bet $1 million, and he got to make his own rules of odds and stuff.
Wow.
Like you basically, he was able to turn the odds to like 53% in favor of the person, and therefore just. Wrecked him with money because he was betting $10,000 a hand minimum or something like that. He was bringing in a lot of money to where they bent the rules just for him.
I want to see a movie like 21 where they make just about that guy.
I would love to see that. Probably I love 21. 21's a great movie.
Is that Kevin Spacey?
Kevin Spacey. Yeah. Yeah. The MIT guys.
Yeah.
Yep. So Atwater just opened up Grand Rapids, doing well over there. Opening up Austin, is there any other talk of moving anywhere else, or are we just
South Dakota, one at a time? We already talked about South Dakota.
Aside from the South Dakota market, I mean, obviously no.
Not Montana. No, you guys thought there. About that? Yeah. No.
What about Alaska? I heard there's a good.
Yeah, right.
There's more people in Alaska than there are in Montana. I mean, come on. I'm trying to go for the niche market where we can really corner the population because there's not a lot to corner.
Man, there's been talk about Illinois and North Carolina.
What about Atlanta? You can call it Atlanta water.
Hotlanta. No.
You don't have a peach beer you can break out of?
Love Atlanta. Actually, we just launched this summer in Atlanta, and we launched Georgia as a whole, but specifically Atlanta's been doing very well for us. They're killing it right now. I mean, one of our biggest out-of-state markets. So
Georgia, really?
A lot of beer drinkers.
It's just Georgia, you don't really hear too much in regards to beers coming out of the state,
actually.
You know, that's the thing, is usually you equate beer drinkers to the beers coming out of the state. So you think Vermont, you think Florida, you think
the North,
even Ohio, right? Chicago, Wisconsin, Minnesota. But then you say Georgia, and you're like, that's a state?
Wow.
What are your other big beer markets besides, Michigan, obviously?
Oh, man.
And Georgia.
That's why. Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, Georgia's killing it. New Jersey's doing really well. New York.
Chris Christie likes his beer.
Ohio's actually doing really well, too. You know, honestly, Michigan is our state. You know,
that's
what we're doing. You know, like we make pretty approachable beers, so it's great everywhere. You know, but we're really embraced in Michigan. You know, it's a lot of our business.
Except for a lot of the haters, apparently, on the board.
We may talk about that next segment.
Let's get next segment.
Give me some
time to prepare.
Let's drink a little more. We'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back with the Better on Draft podcast. Still here with Matt from Atwater. We didn't scare him away.
And we got Matt with HW and W over there now because they multiply. He's got two bushes.
You got your double HW fist in the bush.
We've got a Prescott. We've got a George. And we've got an HW.
Ah.
But you know what? Again.
What about a Jeb?
Exclamation point.
Jebra?
Jebra.
There is no C in my name. Just if anybody searches for me, there is no C.
Boosh.
Don't worry. Nobody's going to look for you.
In fact, that's where the family actually splintered was at those three brothers. So we'll go from there.
Ah. Yeah.
A little history lesson.
The more you know of the bushes, how well do you know your bush? Anyways, let that one settle for a second.
Actually,
Rob.
Silence for effect.
I actually showed Rob a group of great paintings about that earlier today.
Yeah, he did. Wow, that was intriguing.
So, Rob, what's on the news for today?
Oh, it's a kind of few things that have showed up on the news this week.
I know. You didn't pay attention to any of them.
I paid attention to them up till Thursday, and then I didn't pay attention to anything today, and then all of a sudden, oh, hey, I missed something.
Missed a lot of things.
Pretty.
Way to go, bro.
Yeah, hey, you know, you can only fit so much in a damn segment. I mean, we got, 15 minutes, so.
You got a half hour.
This is the guy that brought political stuff last week when you weren't here, if you were listening.
It was still beer news.
We can't talk about this.
Still beer news. Still beer news, damn it.
So go on, Mr.
All right. So I guess first thing I kind of ran into was about Anthony Bourdain. And him basically calling craft beer drinkers or people who drink craft beer turning into zombies.
Oh.
So he was interviewed for a Thrillist article this month. And people were probably just going to assume that these are all CBYs, complained about his choice in beers. Basically, whenever anybody saw him on a show sitting there drinking, you know, your standard yellow beers, that people were pissed off about the cold beer that was convenient that he was drinking instead of, you know, what they think the best beer is out there. So he actually noted something that he was particularly annoyed with, in particular, people ordering flights. And he said that for one experience in a San Fran bar, quote, "The entire place was filled with people sitting there with five small glasses in front of them, filled with different beers, taking notes. This is not a bar. This is a fucking invasion of the body snatchers."
Wow.
"This is wrong. This is not what a bar is about." He says a bar is about getting a little buzzed and not just sitting there fucking analyzing beer.
I agree with him. And I didn't at first, but wow, I agree.
Going a little further into it, he basically said of the craft world, he said, "You know, I haven't made an effort to walk down the street 10 blocks to a microbrewery where they're having some fucking Mumford & Sons IPA. People get all bent about it." So, you know, this is pretty much what I feel is like that embodiment of the whole slogan of North Center Brewing.
Oh, look at that. Man, I didn't do one plug this week.
We didn't do any last week, I don't think. We might have done Zatuna.
To me, he definitely is forgot just the other simply one. Drinking beer to drink beer, and if you like it,
it's good beer.
Then it's a good beer.
What a concept.
Well, that's
a great concept.
That's the reason why companies like Arrow, Smirnoff, Absolute exist, because it's to get people buzzed. They're not drinking it because Absolute makes a great vodka.
Oof. Oh, they make one of the worst. I'll straight up say it.
Actually,
but
they make something like 30 of the worst varieties.
I can't afford Kettle One. I can't afford Kettle One. Oh, I could, but I don't want to afford Kettle One 7 days a week. Sometimes you got to go a little lower end. Come on.
Yeah, but it gets to the point where when you're mixing it, it really doesn't matter.
See, I can tell a difference. If I really want to have a good night of drinking and be, like, hammered, and not worry about it and not have a bad hangover, go Kettle One, go Ciroc. You don't care. You just want to drink. You can definitely tell the difference, especially if you're mixing.
I love me some Stoli.
Stoli's not bad.
I drink Russian Stoli. Standard. That's my vodka choice.
No Crystal Palace for the Polak?
No Crystal Palace for the Polak.
Shout out to Great Grandma. I drink 5 o'clock.
Hey, nothing wrong with some 5 o'clock and some red drink.
Come on, who can go without a Dutch vodka, though? Kettle One's great. I'll drink that.
I was going to say, are you a liquor drinker, Matt, or do you
enjoy my bourbon.
Enjoy nothing wrong with that.
No, hell no, nothing wrong with that.
I was going to say, there's a few decent bourbon style scotch whiskey type bars in Detroit. Great
two
places.
James.
Yeah, Two James is obviously a distillery.
Well, they're too big for us now.
I'm more thinking McShane's.
Ah, yes.
McSorley's? You said what?
to Bourdain's thought is, we've been mocking these people since day one. We call them craft beer Yeezuses. And that's exactly what we're talking about, is these people that will go on Untappd and rate beers that aren't even real beers just to
Hoop slam.
Have that, you know, extra badge or to have that extra opinion. It's like the South Park episode of Yelpers, where they have to have their opinion. They have to know about every of the newest, latest craft beer, and they have to have an opinion that's got to be the right one.
Well, I think for me, and I'm gonna have a question for Matt in a second, but for me, when I go with the flights, because I'm a flight drinker, like, especially if it's a place that I've never been to, I want to find a beer that I like before I actually purchase some type of pint. So usually a flight will cost a pint or a little bit more than a pint.
Right.
But now I have five decisions where I'm not going to be upset if I chose something that's 16 ounces of terrible. Mm-hmm. Where it's now 4 ounces of terrible, and at that point then I know, okay, well, I didn't like the amber, I like the brown, I didn't like the bock, I like the lager, so now I can go and buy a pint of the brown the next time I'm here because I know I'm going to like it.
Do you take notes?
I don't take notes, but the reason that I do,
because you put it on Untappd, so you know what you taste.
Exactly. So while I don't really care what I rate on Untappd, like, it's not like, oh, it's 4.25 and it would be 4.5 if they added 3 more ounces of hops to this one beer. No,
they go from 2 row to 6 row. 3 ounces of hops.
No,
if it was 20 more IBUs.
But that's the thing, though, is that I the only reason I use Untappd is to pay attention to the ABV, because a lot of places don't, especially bars, don't mark the ABV. And secondly, if I like a beer or not, so that I know I don't make that $5, $6, $7 or even more dollar mistake of purchasing a beer, trying a beer, because I know I didn't like it.
Right.
So that's why I use Untappd. I really don't give two. Like, I rated Two Hearted a 2. And it was the greatest decision I've ever made.
Remember the one Trooper and Permanent Funeral debacle?
Well, yeah, when we rated Trooper above Permanent Funeral because it was a better beer.
And we got shit on hardcore for doing that.
You rate Trooper higher than whatchamacallit from Alchemist.
Heady Topper.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. We destroyed Heady Topper. And as much as somebody brought up a good point that a lot of people think the beer that we had before, which was the Black Tuesday from the brewery, really destroyed our palate.
Was that the same
day? Yeah, that was the same day.
It was a rough day.
Yes, it was.
That was – well, you guys were drinking Blow Your Face Out from
Roke.
From Roke.
Yeah,
you guys were getting more toasted than I was because I wasn't drinking the double IPA.
A little bit.
But, I mean, you're on your third brewery. You're the brewery master of Atwater. Do you pay attention to what people say on rating sites, Untappd, anything like that?
It's really hard not to. I want feedback, honest feedback, and there are those that will do it out there, be it good or bad feedback, you know, something with a little depth to it. Actually write something about it, whatever else. Putting a couple stars on something and a smiley face doesn't do shit for me.
Well, I think it gets a point where there's a lot of people and a lot of people within the community that have, and we'll play around with this a little bit just to make sure that we don't because we call these people CBYs. They're assholes, and they're assholes to be assholes. They're basically real life trolls in the beer community.
But I think they get off on it. I guess that's so do trolls, but they want to be that they're.
It's the smug episode of South Park.
They've derived importance of life as being that one guy in this circle of their friends that can always point to a beer and say, but you've never had this, or I've tasted that, just to have that one thing to converse about. And that's kind of what makes them, what you said, is like troll, because all they want to do is one-up everybody.
Exactly. Well, I guess
beer. Like,
that's a natural one-upper feeling of, you know, oh, well, the 2014 vintage was much better. Or you have to age it for 3 years before it even gets good.
I'm going to call that guy Joe Four-Pack. Not Six-Pack. Four-Pack.
Not my WoW character, Joe Six-Pack. It's Joe Four-Pack.
Yeah, because his beer's too high level. ABV to come into Six-Pack. It only comes into Four-Pack.
Or you can be the Michigan Eight-Pack. For 16 ounce cans.
I haven't seen one of those in a while.
I haven't seen them since Axe.
Was that Norm's?
No.
That was coming.
Gateway?
Gateway.
They all moved to 15s.
Did they?
Yeah.
Goodness. So, again, like for me, like whenever somebody has a, like I like to read what people talk about beer because that gives me an idea of what I want to try or, you know, I'll remember that name the next time I go to a store. But somebody will come up and they'll say the explicit or the explicit phrase in regards to Atwater, and they call it Shatwater. And the second somebody says that,
I've never heard that before.
You really haven't?
I've never heard that either.
Oh my god!
But the thing is that the second somebody says that word, you lose all credibility because you're not trying to be credible. You're just trying to be funny and trying to be stupid, and that's where we get to the troll argument in regards to, you know, oh look what Shatwater's do. I'm like, oh, dude, are you fucking?
The same guy? I was like, Oberon, they've changed the recipe so many times. It used to be good.
It's the same group of people.
I had. It was amazing.
Yeah, the first Oberon was great.
4 years later, I was changing the recipe. Now I'm just not going to drink it.
But that's the thing, though, is that you have these people who really feel, and again, it's kind of ironic because we're on a podcast that's talking about beer. but again, I don't think we've ever had this whole holier than thou mentality never. About a beer that we've had.
Well, maybe Rob.
We've no. talked
for sure. Nick's always Nick.
We've talked about Max beer. Ice and
all oh, Nick. Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's
no, Nick's the only person that we know that if he's having a bad day, he drinks something
tries
worse.
To punish himself.
Nick brings an ice house. Nick brings a game day from 7-Eleven.
I had a bad day at work.
They haven't made this in 5 years.
No
I know.
Big flats.
So I'm drinking this. Like.
But that's the thing, though, is when people bring such a negative attitude to the... to these breweries, to these beers, it's one thing to not like a beer. It's another thing to go above and beyond to show your distaste for a beer. And that's the one thing that a lot of people do that I just do not like is that I hate the fact that, oh, I don't like this beer, so I'm going to make sure everyone knows I don't like this beer. I'm going to make a joke about this beer.
I kind of feel like this topic came up because I'm here.
No, with it, it would be
no, I'm a little worried.
Oh, no.
No. It's one. You know,
this is one that just it's just every week there is something about some beer. It's just
it's a good time to bring it up, man. Honestly, I've been at a couple companies, you know, and you know, it – Atwater, you know, the last couple of years, it's just kind of, it's been great for mediocre drinkers and the self-appointed beer snobs of our state have just totally shit on us. I wasn't there then. You know, I will say one thing is when we launched Grand Rapids, I brought out two barrel-aged beers that I did immediately. Like the moment I hit the doors, like two beers down really quick in barrels. Not with really any certain launch date. You know, the beer is ready when the beer is ready. Right. You know, so, but I had these things ready for Grand Rapids. Great. You know, I had two people sitting at the bar that gave, I mean, I was on the other side of the glass and I was looking at Untappd and I had two people give, you know, VJP like 4 stars. And they were sitting right next to each other. I saw their faces on the fucking app, and I'm like, I fucking see you. I was like, oh, there's very little ground between us right now.
So they gave you 4 stars. You should want to hug them, right?
It's VJ, you know, VJP. I mean, it's a very approachable beer. And
who's rating that low? That's...
It's 4 out of 5. Well, though,
that's
right?
A one
it's four
beer,
out
I think.
Five. Yeah. I mean, this is on tap.
Yeah, I mean, if it was 4 out of 10, I would get it.
A 4 is very generous. I think that's great, you know, for the kind of beer that it is. And it's either way, you know, and then it goes on and they're going down their flights, as we were talking about earlier. And they get to the two beers in question, which were both came out of barrels, both took a lot of time. And both of these beers in question, one of which is in the growler next to you. The 2 stars and just
pour us some of that, man.
An idiotic response.
Two star beer now?
So, Nefarious Character, which is a session porter, super sour, awesome, lactobacillus.
Look at this.
I did take the time to barrel age it beforehand. So
is
it
this barrel age, this one?
First use barrels nice. For 3 months, and then I transferred to a third use barrel and a pitch lacto and it's all for another 6 months. So, kind of just an idea I had, you know, whatever.
Well, obviously, this is the first time you've made it because the amount of time it took you to make it.
It may be the first barrel aged beer that Edward's made. I haven't. Either way, so these guys just shit on these two beers, and I was. Within reaching distance, and I'm just like, you know what, dude? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what these two guys say. That beer went off the handle in like, you know, maybe a day and a half. You know, for a half barrel. I mean, it was ridiculous. You know, I mean, and the rest of the reviews were very nice. You know, whatever else. But these two guys that really looked like they're the aficionados of these are the you know. Beer City.
The CBYs.
These are the guys.
See, that would have pulled the Jay and Silent Bob right there. Just showed up. Are you Beer Snob 68?
Oh, no.
Did you just...
Smoochie Poochies.
Man. That's amazing.
You're that close. That's like one of those situations where you're that close.
Oh, yeah.
I know you got to hold back, it's
very difficult,
man.
But, you know.
You could have drowned him in one of your fermenters like the landfill in Beer Fest. Make him drink as well.
All kinds of scenarios went through.
Oh, man.
You know, the biggest thing is, you know, respecting people's, you have your opinion.
Right.
And that's all that matters, you know. And then when you get out of that realm and where we're doing this, you know, like everybody's a fucking super beer critic. Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. You've been drinking craft beer for, you know, 2 or 3 years. Who knows what your credibility is in, as far as craft beers in your palate. I've been doing this for 10 years, man. I mean, I'm to a point where I'm almost jaded, like where everything's kind of tastes the same.
See, this is the thing that pisses me off the most about the scene is I don't go to your job in middle management at an insurance company and tell you really talked to Deborah poorly this time. You really did a bad TPS report. You know, but you want to come to my job and you want to talk about the smallest bad thing. Like, hey, I could come to your shitty retail job and say, hey, your socks don't match your shoes today, asshole. And pick of the most mundane thing to talk about. But the
shitty retail job doesn't have Untappd.
You know what? Here we go. New idea. Oh, I haven't had one of these in a few weeks. New idea.
I mean,
it's going to be an app only for the brewing world, okay? It's going to be a secret app. And it's going to be rate every single place we could possibly go. It's going to be like FedEx, Kinko's, Kinova, and to Walmart.
I mean, cute.
It's like, we're going to take
fucker
over.
Fucker didn't smile.
Like, that burrito was delicious, but he didn't look me in the eye and
two
smile.
Stars.
You know, we're going to go back, and we're going to connect all the users from Untappd into these places. We're going to track them through like
if you want to.
They have it. It's called Yelp.
If you want to, you can go to China and go grab their app because apparently now they have an app where you can rate people.
We can rate people.
You can rate people.
Hey, dude, this is the Black Mirror episode, right? Has anybody seen that shit? Like,
and just see Matt sitting in the back, ratingpeople.com, asshole named Zach.
That's why I hate the Dutch, because they're building
one star.
Device.
Where's my ex in this? I'm going to find her.
But again, that's, you know, when if I go to a brewery and I'm going to label something a low beer, that just means I didn't like it. Like, I understand my palate is not up to standards.
He doesn't like IPAs.
I don't like IPAs at all.
You can't take offense to it. In my position, I could not take offense to somebody having a low opinion. As opposed to being negative, you know, people don't put it in a positive light where if enough people had a strong enough opinion about a certain product, you know, I'm not doing this like the two guys sitting at the bar. I'm doing this shit to make people happy, dude. I mean, it makes me happy to see people enjoy the product, you know, and it's just like turn it into something constructive. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear some catty remark about my fucking beer. Please just, you know, say, hey, man, this thing was way too bitter for the malt body. You know, do something intelligent instead of being a troll.
People, this is bullshit. They don't know what they're doing. Yeah, they should hire
a
new brewer.
Give this a half star.
I wish they should just hire me to fix stuff.
My favorite is, I wish I could give this no stars. Technically, you can, dumbass.
By not doing
it. Not rating it. You can actually check it in and not rate it, but, you know. just checking in with a catty comment.
Yeah. Sorry, trolling the Trollenstein.
Oh, goodness. All right, moving on.
This is the news segment of Better
yeah,
Undraft.
This is the news segment where we have a interesting beer. We got an interesting beer coming out from Dogfish Head.
Hold
next
on,
week.
Time out. Have you guys tried this beer, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's, I love it.
It's pretty good.
I love a little. You don't expect that sour taste from the beer just looking at it. It
yeah, no, it, I no. never do.
This is better
once
than
in a while. It gets you
a certain two token beer we got yelled at before.
Oh, this is better
the than Red that. Cock.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. No, it was the one from Arbor.
I don't remember.
It was like a year ago.
I can't. Yeah. I remember yeah. the story. I just don't remember what the beer was.
Yeah, I can't either. But it's better than that. It's better than a lot of the Arbor ones.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, no, not the Old Bruin. Oh.
No, that was good.
Oh, that was good.
But I ended up with a bottle of that. That was like, yo.
Oh, good.
Go on, Rob.
So Dogfish Head's got a new beer coming out starting on Monday called Beer for Breakfast.
Oh.
It is a beer that is made with Guatemalan Antigua cold-pressed coffee, brown sugars, maple syrup, which was harvested from western Massachusetts, applewood-smoked barley, kiln coffee, caramel malt, flaked oats, roasted barley, molasses, milk sugars, roasted chicory, and scrapple.
Yes. Scrapple. Holy crap. Let's scrapple. Get some of that. All
Ken,
right.
I've never seen you laugh this hard in my life.
For those.
Come on. Stop.
Come on.
What's Ken thinking right
What's
now?
What's wrong with Scrapple?
No. I'll tell you the story and the second break.
So for those who do not know what Scrapple is, it is
the best part of the hog.
Also known as pan Parts. Rabbit. Traditionally a mush of pork scraps like pig snouts and hearts and pretty much everything that's put in hot dogs.
Oh, the hog maw is not better.
So this isn't vegan. Is what you're
it
saying.
It is not vegan. Pretty much combined with cornmeal, wheat flour, and spices, pretty much just
boiled?
Formed into a loaf, sliced, and then
pan-fried. Yep.
So, yeah, it's pretty much the leftover scraps from a pig.
It's breakfast bologna.
Well, they've already lost 2 stars on my review on Untappd because they got the maple syrup from western Massachusetts and not Vermont. So they're already at 3 stars. I'm sorry. I can't. No. No, it's NCCBY.
I'm waiting for your review on this.
Are they bottling this? That. Because
yes,
we're going to have to bring this in.
This is being bottled. It's coming in. It originally, on draft, it was at 10%. In bottles, it is down to 7.4.
They couldn't drive an extra 2 hours for Vermont maple syrup,
yeah,
though.
I want birch syrup from Michigan, damn it.
Maybe there's a lot of laws in regards to transporting maple
I'm
syrup.
I'm thinking there isn't. I'm thinking they could have just went and bought
state lines.
I guess because this is the thing is that I've never had Scrapple.
What?
So I guess
now
I know
that
Matt has.
Oh,
who else has
had
Scrapple?
I had it.
I've had Scrapple.
No, I won't
it's
eat
an acquired
it.
Taste and consistency.
No, it's like corned beef hash.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
It's about there. But it comes in a loaf.
It doesn't come in a loaf, but it comes in like.
Doesn't come in a can? Like corned beef hash? Or just
it comes in a patty.
Like spam?
It's like it's a square patty. Like, because they'll cut it off a loaf, and it'll look like just a brown puck.
Right.
A piece of Texas toast.
A brown?
Just pig parts.
Oh, no,
just
no.
Just pig parts.
Yeah,
okay.
No.
So, I mean,
sunny side up egg or fried egg just gooing off of Scrapple. The breakfast of drunken champions.
It's amazing.
Drunk.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
like
I mean, pan frying, that's it. That's the only way you
can do it. Well, it's already cooked because what they do is they boil
it's
it.
It's already got to be
so
pretty much.
It's already cooked. It's like bologna. It's already
mechanically separated, boiled.
Oh, no, it's pulled apart.
Come on now.
So, it's like how they make chicken nuggets then, the mechanically separated chicken.
All right,
into five different shapes.
They literally put the pig carcass in boiling water after they've taken all the trimmings off, and then it separates, and then they just mush it with flour and seasoning for the next, 4 to 5 hours. So, until it's fully cooked. Then they put it in these loaf pans, and then they cool it for 3 or 4 days, and then they put it on the fryer.
And then they put it in your beer.
Like I said, it's basically, it's bologna.
Your breakfast beer.
Now, that pretty much just takes out my other question, because since I've never had it before, I almost just equated this whole thing to chitlins.
Rob, you like
hog?
Chitlins, Rob. Wow. It's a big difference.
It's a big difference, because I was thinking, okay, does this sound like this is crossing the line? Because, I mean, hell, we talked about Australia having a beer made brewed with belly lint, the one beer I think it was in Sweden or Norway that was using the lactic acid from vaginas.
Excuse me?
Does Like, I thought this crossed the line. Apparently, it doesn't.
Doesn't Right Brain make a beer with an entire hog head in it?
Mangalista
Porter. Mangalista, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is just like hog product in it.
Yeah.
I kind of want to
make
a chitlin beer now.
Chitlin.
Oh, hold on. What if you made a hot dog beer and you used a hot dog and
there
mustard
There are
seed?
Hot dog beers.
Oh. Hot dog and chitlins. I don't know. Chitlins is where I draw the line. I'm just screwing around with raw.
Do you like pork?
We don't need shit in our beer.
Bacon
literally.
Is good.
But do you like pork?
Pork chops is
good.
Do you
like you trotters?
What about hog maws, Rob? You like hog maws?
I don't do hog maws.
Snout?
No, I don't do that.
Beef tongue?
No.
Oxtail?
Oh, you need to do some beef tongue.
Beef tongue is delicious.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Have somebody pickle it for us.
I'll just right off the tongue.
Okay. Oh, great.
Not a real tongue. Like
an invasive, the French kiss the cow.
Yeah, I'm like, wow.
Just snip them.
Dip it in some horseradish sauce.
Damn. All right. Way to make me go Muslim. Next thing.
Wow.
So AB InBev, in this case, ZX Ventures has acquired Northern Brewer. This apparently it happened last week. Completely missed it.
Matt, tell us how you really feel.
I already vented.
So basically, obviously, Northern Brewer is, I guess, what's considered one of the largest, if not the largest, home brewing supply company in the country. Obviously, do a lot of online retail sales, but they do have three stores. I think there's two in Minnesota, one in Wisconsin. But ZX Ventures purchased them, which ZX Ventures is apparently the global disruptive growth unit of AB InBev.
What a great
that
title.
Sounds really inviting.
Details of the transaction have not been disclosed, but Chris Farley, I guess he's the...
Chris Farley?
Obviously not...
Hold on.
Back from the grave.
This is all bullshit.
Not that Chris Farley.
Is this
Farley.
An Onion article?
Fooled you.
Hey, is his partner Matt Foley?
Yeah.
His partner is David Spade. Come on.
Right.
Pay attention.
But he came out saying nothing's fundamentally going to change from the result of the deal. Obviously, ZX is saying that, you know, nothing is going to change at the moment. But obviously, we always hear about these breweries that get bought by AB, and there's always the fallout on the boards where people say, oh, you know, screw that. They just got bought by Big Beer. I'm never going to drink that beer again. And now you're talking about supply chain for home brewers. And how is this where do they go now when they sit there and complain about small craft beer breweries selling out to Big Beer, and now they want to go make beer, but in order to make beer, they now have to get their supplies from the company that owns or that is owned by Big Beer.
Are they going to have Beechwood in there?
They don't have to get their products there. There's a vast amount of
it's a ton of places
of great places to get, you know, your homebrew supplies. And I would suggest personally, how about your local homebrew shop? You know,
shout out to Adventures in Homebrewing.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they're really good. They're very good.
You know, but seriously, man, like, why not support your local homebrew shop? I mean, price, yes, you know, depending on the size of the company, it's gonna vary a little bit. And this company in question is supplied amazing prices for homebrewers on not only equipment, you know, but raw materials. But do they know that this happened? I mean, how many homebrewers is this touching? How many people are
how many people knew that the purchase mm-hmm. happened? You know? Yeah, not a lot. I didn't know about it till right now.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't
or
know
during
about
the
it
break
before
we
started
talking about it. Yeah,
Matt brought it up.
And I guess,
so, like you said, like if all these people are bitching about ABI and their acquisitions of other brewing companies and such, this could drown that company if people were smart enough. You can go anywhere else and say, we're done. You know, you mm-hmm. totally will ruin this company in one
and to be honest,
swoop.
I didn't. When you said local homebrew supply, the only homebrew supply I've ever seen is the one right next to Kunin on Chicago and Mound.
Well, Adventure and Homebrewing is down on like Van Born and,
Van
Telegraph,
Born and Telegraph,
so you'd have to know it's there or know about them already. Or
I think there's actually.
So, like, is this going to be a situation where, like, 25 years ago, someone took Starbucks just out of Seattle and put them in every major market? Is this what's going to happen to where stuff
all of a sudden is what? Like it's going to turn like into a CVS of homebrewing supplies
I
to start popping up from
I can't
city
that.
To city?
Is homebrewing that big?
They're going to put it into storefronts. And the
7-Eleven and homebrewing?
They buy kiosks at malls. I mean, I know that sounds stupid,
No, to put it in perspective, we're in Michigan. We have tons of beer. There aren't that many homebrewing stores around when you think of it.
So don't you think there'd be a market here? Don't you think there would be a market in Metro Detroit?
But I think there'd already be more popping up if there was a bigger market for it. You've already got Adventures in Homebrewing way down by the airport. You've got Kunin. Then you got to go to Waterford for the next one or north of M59 for the next one around here. Think about that.
I mean, I don't want everybody to miss the biggest part of this whole fucking acquisition is that ABI has resources that are just – huge. I mean, they could save the company that they just bought hundreds of thousands of dollars a month, even, you know, on the amount of grain, the amount of hops, you know, the contracts that they have with these hop growers. I mean, it's insane to think how much money in the amount that they buy what they buy, you know. That's the big goal. That's the big win for them is that they get to offer this at the same price and knock a shitload off of the price that it cost them to get it.
So it's basically going to be almost like a Walmart of homebrewing is what you're thinking.
Well,
are there any positives? Anybody see any positives out of this, though? Anybody see any positives?
For the homebrewing community? No.
I don't see the prices getting cheaper. I see it getting cheaper for the people that just bought the company.
Yeah, and it could knock other companies out of it if they can outprice the other companies like Adventures in Homebrewing or places like that out of it. And they're big. They're not just local. Adventures in Homebrewing is a nationwide one, big like Northern Brewer.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to do it for segment two. We'll be right back with five questions with Matt Bush and probably about 10 minutes. Well, if you're listening on a podcast, it's going to be right away. But stay tuned to the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back with episode 57 of the Better on Draft podcast. Man, we got cups going all over the place.
Oh, man.
Everyone's got at least three beers in front of them.
How many cups are everywhere?
That's, yeah, but I've got four beers in front of me. I don't know if anybody's...
I've got one, two, three, four.
Yeah, four.
I got
five if you count the duplicate.
I'm going rookie. I only have two.
Yeah, it's because you decided not to open up the other two.
Well, because
is that a flying buffalo?
That is a Great Lakes flying buffalo.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I did not open that because now we have like
the
full on like extra special guest like Love Boat and shit going on right now.
That's your week one that you brought. I'm pretty sure that's like your week one that you brought.
Oh yeah, I think it was like I think it was like week two because
was it week two?
Because Nick came in with the regular coffee flying buffalo, and I think it was like the week after I brought it.
Well, no, you brought both the same day. That's why I was like, yeah, that's
so.
I think it was. Yeah, it was the same day. That's right.
Segment three is
hold on to that.
Five questions with Matt Bush. There you go. I gotta loop it, and I'll make it a loop.
This
after
is not
this.
The song I played last week. This is
no, this is the right song.
This is the right song, Daniel. The right.
I played
song.
What I had when I tried to play his like he wanted like Wiz Khalifa or something like that.
A little black and yellow.
All right, so we always start with five question, or we always start five questions with geography.
Chicago.
Do we win? We got question number one, right?
Hey.
So this week's theme is 1908, just in honor of America's new team, the Chicago Cubs. Just kidding. I kind of am sick of it already. So
already in a hater mode.
So as we do it. Hey, we have a new guest. Come on.
Just in time for five questions with Matt Bush.
Perfect. All right.
Our favorite segment.
In 1908, what was the westernmost state in the Union?
California.
1908?
California.
Okay.
Oh, wait, is Washington further west?
I don't know.
It's California then.
All right, Dan's
because Eureka's further west is the furthest point on the continent. California.
California is what Matt or Dan's saying. I'm gonna go with Dan.
It's actually Washington because of Cape Alva, Washington.
I was like, I could have swore Eureka is the furthest point west on the continent.
According to some random website, the furthest western point of the continental United States is Cape Alva, Washington.
Double checking that because I swear it's Eureka.
We can Google on this.
All right.
So
question number two. We're gonna keep it going, or do we wanna wait?
No, you're fine. Keep going.
In the 1908 World Series, who did the Cubs beat?
They beat the Detroit Tigers.
I He sounded so solid.
I was going to say, yeah, really quick.
I think we just have to go with it.
I'm
going to go with it.
I'm down.
I'm in. All in favor?
Yeah, it's fine.
Aye.
They beat the Detroit Tigers.
There you go. Oh,
hey. And Matt's right. Eureka's number two. That state, that spot in Washington is further.
Cape Alpha, I did my research.
Way to pretty much break out.
I wasn't
Spork
sure
Alive
Washington was a
I
state,
wrote.
Though, either.
Which one?
Oh. The one you just read off.
Did you know that before you wrote it for Sporkle?
No.
I did. Okay. So, all right. All of you fine people, and maybe you can pour some to this wonderful young woman.
I just gave her mine. Okay.
Welcome, Kaylin.
Oh, hey, guys.
Welcome
hey.
Back.
Hey. Thanks for having
Thanks
me
for
back.
Coming back.
It's been so long.
I know. Did you miss me already?
Of course we did. You're just like, hey, I'm going to be on the east side of the state.
I just happen to be in town. Can I come over?
Yes, please. I want the bass bush.
Share the bush, yeah.
Oh, I don't have
any. No, it's a collectible can.
Do I say out loud that I don't have any bush?
Well, you no, said it.
I was going to say, there's no taking it back.
How do you make a crowd of guys so quiet?
That is it.
That is it.
Hey, perfect. Now.
Well done.
Hey.
All right, so you all have a nice frothy yellow beer in front of you.
I don't remember which beer. It might be this
It's the
one.
Yellow one with hell.
Well, it's the one that...
Probably
Ooh,
the really
this is
cold
the one with the bass on it.
Hold on, is this an? Hold on,
and I can it looks question. Like a large.
This tastes yeah. very familiar.
This is a very good beer.
I guess the.
Well, he says very good.
Well,
beer.
This no. Hold on, come back down to my standards. I drink King Cobra.
E40. Let's look at Rob.
Steel Reserve.
Steel
Rob
Reserve.
Is wincing.
If it's in a 40, I have probably right. drank it multiple right. times. Shit, I drank 5 40s worth of beer last Saturday. Come on, guys. Give me a little credit.
So, Ken, Dan,
I mean, do
tell,
we
tell us what this tastes
yeah,
like.
I think I know what it is already.
Damn.
What do you think it is?
Well, I mean, we got to use the two questions. So
I honestly think it's Molson.
My thing was, I was kind of, because he said 1908 theme, and is that not around the time that Molson...
Hold on, I have to picture myself watching baseball.
Hold on, hold
on. Wait, hold on, let us picture you watching baseball.
So weird.
Is
it could be Molson.
All right, so we get two questions. We get two questions.
Not there's no.
You don't think it's Molson?
I mean
it's cold yellow sweet. Beer at all. Oh, okay.
No, that's it.
So we get two questions and one guess. So we're able to pick down based on if we want to like go through geography, if we want to go
next
through.
Time, can you get a decent beer?
No.
Oh no. This no, is never can't. A decent.
This
beer.
This is always like. This,
yeah.
This
oh
is
yeah.
Travesty.
Yeah. Just be glad this isn't. Be glad this isn't Four Loko week.
Awesome.
No. I need to have Vintage? Bad days more often. People bring me beer.
Let's see. I mean, what the... I'm trying to think because there's like something significant with 1908 and Molson.
I want to get rid of the question right away in regards to it. If this is a Canadian beer.
Go for
I mean,
it.
Throw it.
Do you not think it's any form of... like?
That's
if
a good question because that resets the
I've
whole thing.
I've drank a lot of freaking Molson and this is...
He doesn't think it's Molson.
I just don't think it's Molson.
I still
Molson.
We have two.
Now
questions.
I do have a can with a bass on it in front of me. I do have a sour and I don't know.
Oh,
that's 5 years old.
We have a Voodoo Vader right here.
And there are Doritos, so the palate may be totally
all right,
ruined.
So I'm just going through. Is this a Canadian made beer, as in brewed in Canada?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's
so
a good question,
Molson.
Though. That's a good way to eliminate.
All right,
and that takes, so
is Molson brewed in Canada?
It's not Corona again. Is it?
It's not made in Colorado and like sold.
No. He Matt understood the question I was asking.
He screwed
before.
That up a couple of times.
He has.
He's double checking. Hold on, he's double checking.
I'm 99%.
Hold on,
this came up before.
The fact
this
that whole it's, thing
I'm about to say because Jordan was 99% sure he wasn't coming back.
Yeah, well, the NBA said you've been gambled, son. Go away for a couple of days.
All right.
Just checking.
You're not going to get nose on this beer, man.
Wow, it's OE, dude. What is this?
What? Does OE come in a can?
Yeah, it's got to come in some type of can. Because
he's got a can.
Oh, OE comes in a can.
I got this in Harper, West Michigan. OE in a can, though.
Don't you get all of them from Harper?
Not always.
No.
Sometimes I get it locally.
Where the hell
it's
is
locally
Harper
sourced.
Wood?
Should we ask if it comes
it's not
Gross
Point,
that's a
but
good
it's
question.
Not Detroit, part of 8 Mile.
So,
Would we see this beer in
this is your second question.
Hold on. We get two?
We only get two.
This is a good one, though.
Yes, confirmed.
We were going to ask if we can naturally see this in a 40.
Oh, that's a good question.
Because it eliminates a lot of malt liquor.
Yeah.
It either breaks it down or we're going to be in a position where we're always going to be in.
I'm all in.
This seems like this is always like one of our more common questions.
It's either that or does it have four letters?
Does it have four or five letters? Is it AB InBev?
It's all right, though.
Let's make three questions.
It's a good question.
I mean, I guess I'm for it.
I mean, we have a pretty good record in regards to it. So does this beer naturally come in a 40? Like, do we see it in a 40?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Oh, dude.
Shit. So it's an American. We naturally see it in a 40. Obviously, it comes in
a can,
American?
Too. It's not Canadian.
No, it's not Canadian.
It is not Canadian.
I don't trust Matt Bush with how he said that. It's American.
Is there any more in that hidden can?
Do you need some more?
It's probably 8% alcohol. I mean,
Rob won't.
Oh, you're not drinking yours?
I finished mine. I'm out.
Rob won't touch it.
Yeah, I'm more. I'm pretty much because... I don't know.
This is up my alley, but I can't.
I think we're gonna give this to Matt. I think Matt's gonna be the one that's gonna need to to break it down. I mean, you thought it was OE. Why did Dan? I mean, you drink
it's
OE.
It's not dry enough to be OE, though.
Yeah, it's not OE. It's not King Cobra. King Cobra comes in cans too, but it's not it.
It's not.
This is everything that I've ever learned in the brewing industry. Everything that I've done since being a beer fucking fan. This goes back to way before that. We're tapping some shit that's happened when I was like 17. Dude.
So let's think about this real quick.
What's going on here?
Before we give it up, let's think about this.
Can it be KC?
No, this isn't KC.
It's like fucking camo.
But we're gonna let's talk about what comes in.
Do you ring the
40?
Bell if I get it randomly?
No,
it's in a 40 and
the bell is
and a tall can. So we have Steel Reserve.
It's not Steel Reserve.
I don't have gut rot yet, so it can't be Steel Reserve.
It's not Steel Reserve. King Cobra, this doesn't have the taste of battery acid like King Cobra. Someone said Mickey's. This doesn't taste like Mickey's.
Nope.
No, I know Mickey's. So that got me through college.
This has to be a more commercial.
High Life?
No, because I don't like the High Life.
It doesn't taste like
I don't
champagne.
Either.
Ken, do you like this?
No, she's right. This isn't...
It's not bad. It's not good, but it's not bad.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking it's got to be something more commercial.
I feel like I'm going to be pissed when I figure out what it is and I get it wrong.
I think we're all going to be pissed.
He's
going to
be pissed.
I've had this. I know this.
What about Milwaukee's Best?
Ooh.
Who is it, Beast?
The Beast. Beast Ice.
Maybe that's why.
Does Beast Ice come in 40s? Ice.
Yeah. Yes, it does. And cans. And tall boys.
And Red comes in 40s.
Dude, this
don't listen to Matt. Mm-mm. Or good Matt, not bad Matt.
So we got...
Oh, I like this.
So,
hold on.
We got Matt Water and we got... Matt Water.
Matt Water,
Matt Bush Light.
So for Milwaukee's Best, we have the red one, which is Milwaukee's Best. The light... And the ice all come in 40s?
No, only the premium, the red one, and the ice come in 40s.
Okay. The light doesn't?
No. Nobody buys the light anyways.
That's what happens when you have a...
The red one's very good. God,
the red one's great.
I've drank so many 40s of that.
What do you think, Matt Water?
I hate this whole thing. This is terrible.
That might be a good vote, though.
Milwaukee's Best.
Light or red?
I'm going to say light.
I haven't drank it in a while, but...
I don't want to be wrong.
If you're wrong, it doesn't really hurt anyone.
It doesn't hurt anything,
no.
I know.
No.
Milwaukee's Best light?
Light does not come...
But he said light doesn't come.
Yeah, he said light doesn't come.
Then ice.
Ice.
It's really not... good though. It's just even on any standard.
I feel a hangover coming over already.
Anything that he picks never is.
The can is sitting on a can that has a bass on it, and it's worse than the can.
The more I drink this, the more I can drink of it. So yeah, I'm thinking it might be Milwaukee's Best
ice.
We can go with that.
We're gonna go with Milwaukee's Best ice.
Can I get a drum roll?
No. This is all Kaylin's fault.
Thank you.
She came in here
and said,
no,
we were very confident that it wasn't Steel Reserve.
You're welcome.
I'm the first one in.
I'm playing like a geisha and I've had my phases.
And, In good college, job, it made me so sick that I didn't think it could be Steel Reserve, but apparently
it's fucking
my,
delicious.
Apparently, so. my stomach.
Like I said, the more I drink, the more I can drink of it.
Dan's got a new favorite beer.
No, I used to drink that back in the day. I laid off it because it's like 9.5%. Yeah. That's the whole reason I.
So I had lost a bet. I think I was at.
Oh, good story.
I was at Snooker's. I had lost a bet. I don't know what happened, but it involved me chugging an entire can of Steel Reserve.
Yep.
That's how the night ended. So I chug it, and I finish it, and I belch. And my belch smelt so bad from the Steel Reserve that I made the person next to me throw up. And that's not a lie. We were in the parking lot of
right
Snooker's. This guy throws up from me chugging Steel Reserve.
It literally happened.
So we're gonna bring this one back to five questions. Question number four. This is kind of history. I don't know. Anybody good at history-ish?
Nah, I might be.
Not really.
Obviously, Kalen's history is a little off after 1908. Steel Reserve.
Is this 1908? Has ever run out of San Juan Hill?
It's been a good 10 years
San
since
Juan
Steel
Hill.
Reserve happened.
1908. Was that 1908?
There was a presidential election that year.
Okay.
Who won the presidential election in 1908?
Herbert Hoover, the vacuum cleaner
guy. No, hold on.
I was making a Home Alone 2 joke.
Taft or Roosevelt, or would have been McKinley. Was that when McKinley was?
Are you guys historians over there?
I wasn't prepared for the line of questioning.
Well, hold on. Was 1908 the four-way race with the Bull Moose? No, that would have been.
Jesus.
I'm busting out shit. People don't even know what I'm talking about.
Because 1908, we're definitely sitting.
Were you a poli sci major or you were an English major?
I was actually a history major.
Oh, I wouldn't have said that.
But hold on, 1908 was that when McKinley was assassinated? Was that with the four-way race with the Bull Moose Party in Taft?
You're talking to yourself, Dan. You might as well.
Okay,
just
talk then.
No. You're picking the answer yourself because you have the most knowledge in regards to.
So we're talking. I mean, 1908. We're sitting, obviously, you know, basically second president of the 20th century.
Hold on, 1908. When did World War One start? That was
1914.
Right.
So that was before Woodrow Wilson. So that is too early, because he was. He was president during the end of it, which was 1918.
Right.
Better on
so
history with Dan Cook.
So he couldn't have been president in 19... What?
I'm just so impressed. I'm like
so it has
watching
to be
your mouth it
has
talk
to be,
about this.
It has to be Taft.
I'm thinking, what's... I mean, where's...
Or it has to be McKinley.
You said
remember,
Taft first.
McKinley was alive for only 40 days, and he got executed.
Wait, how far back was Coolidge?
Oh, Calvin Coolidge?
Because that's... I'm like, the second he said 1908, for some reason, Coolidge was the first thing that popped in my head. But I didn't feel like that was right.
Damn, now you've got me. Now I'm really confused.
Dan, just pick an answer.
I cheated and I Googled.
You should give him a little.
All right.
You were onto something.
I know.
Here's my clue.
Just pick Taft.
The loser was William Jennings Bryant.
That's a hell of a clue. Man.
If you're history
so it wasn't a four-way race, so... No, yeah, because history major's not going to know every fucking election.
Go with your gut, man. Just go with your gut.
Go with your gut.
I've given you three. Taft, McKinley, or Roosevelt.
No, you said Taft.
Somebody better get that fucking
bell
before
this is over.
He said Taft
like 100 times, so I'm just going to say Taft.
Go with Taft.
William Howard Taft.
Hey.
Yay.
Fun fact. I will give you some history. That is the one president that, after he was president, got appointed to the Supreme Court.
Yes.
All right.
Very, very all good. Right.
Until it happens to Obama.
I'm assuming it might. I'm assuming it might happen to Obama.
Right. It might.
But
is he gonna? Or is like somebody gonna bring up George Bush to become Supreme Court?
No. He wants someone of constitutional.
I know. I was being facetious, sarcastic.
All right. So Bush. Question five.
Meanwhile,
question number five. I'm going to list four things. So three of these four things had already been invented or established before 1908. Oh. One of them had not been.
Okay.
The four things are as follows. The refrigerated rail cars to transport Budweiser.
Okay.
Canned beer.
Okay.
The establishment of the American Prohibition Party that eventually led to American Prohibition.
Okay.
That seemed redundant, but obviously. Four, Yingling Brewing Company. Three of those four things were around before 1908.
Yingling
was not.
I already know the answer to this. This is cheating.
Answer it.
It's canned beer.
It's canned beer, you asshole.
Oh. Okay.
Did that just bust out? It's about half.
I didn't have to look really, that up. The reason I knew that was because ESPN did things that have happened since 1908.
Right.
And canned
and
beer
this literally
was one
just
of
happened.
The things.
They beat you to the punch. That's
and then Fox kept throwing his stuff. It was like,
fuck you, ESPN. So we did have a latecomer just popping on by. Kaylin from Ellison is back. Hello.
Hi. Oh, hey, guys.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I was in town doing an event, so I thought I would just swing through.
That works for us.
I brought beer.
You brought beer.
I brought beer.
Mm-hmm. Why are we not drinking?
Hold on. We do have
Speaking of beer.
A macro swill, if you will.
I've already rated it 2 stars.
So you better.
That's exactly. That's anytime Goose Island comes up, I always call it macro swill.
2 stars.
Because I did say that we had an extra special guest, but I did not say what that guest was in its liquid form.
So we've got. Why don't you set the mood, Matt?
Oh, you set the mood. Well.
This is Pillow Talk.
I love it with his deep voice gets me every time.
Very nice Bourbon County variety of the Ryan Cherry variety. I don't know, dude.
Jesus Christ.
Try.
It's a 5-year-old bottle of fire. I tried, dude.
Super sexy.
It was really sexy until I said fuck it.
It's beer. Drink it.
So it's 2011. It is.
And that's
bourbon.
How I get down, by the way.
It was bottled.
Really sexy until fuck.
Hello.
Fuck it. Let's do it.
It's fucking beer, babe. Drink
I lost it.
This is Goose Island Cherry Rye.
Cherry Rye. Aged 5 years.
Almost 5 years. It says almost. It was bottled on November 12th, 2012.
God damn, that is sexy.
That would be 4 years ago.
Hold on, I got to put both of your mouths on.
But it does say to develop.
So does anyone have any left that I get to try, or is it gone?
Here. Take this.
That was not on purpose.
All of you hand me a glass.
I think I'm the only one.
Oh, is that mine? Okay. Sorry, everybody, I have one.
I was like, because this thing is empty. I was like, there was some that was left, didn't it?
Wait, you didn't get any of your own?
I did.
Oh, okay. Good. I was like, come on now. I appreciate the sentiment, but I will give you my beer.
I like that. There is a lady present.
That is a
well. Matt's here every week.
Wow.
What's up, bro?
That was like payback for all of the Knicks short jokes, like right there.
No, that's a payback for all the Miami Hurricane jersey jokes.
Ooh,
I'm still mad about one night. That was one night.
A lot can happen in one night.
Yeah.
I happened in one night.
Wow. Sweet
Lord. We won't get into the science of how incorrect that was.
So without going on Untappd, which you guys are...
It was good.
There's fucking 4 of you on Untappd right now.
Well, he's on the sites on Untappd.
I actually just went on to DACB.
He went on DACB.
It said, found this on a shelf, says 2012, probably too old, right?
Found this on the shelf?
I can't wait to see that post.
He's looking for haters right now.
Wow.
Dude, my game will not probably stop blowing up for years.
That's awesome.
So let's kind of go over the drill. Atwater, they can find you Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tinder,
Grindr.
Everyone's on Grindr.
I found him on Grindr.
MySpace.
What were you doing on Grindr? Your types you should have.
Don't worry about it. All
right. Don't ask questions.
Don't ask questions you don't want answers to. So they can find you Atwater Beer, or is it Atwater Brewing? What's the official title of Atwater?
Jesus.
I got a light. I make beer.
He's like, I drink the shit.
I didn't come with plugs. I came with beer. I don't know.
Not in the customer-facing IT.
No, I believe the website is atwaterbeer.com.
Instagram is atwaterbeer.
Honestly, just go on Facebook and look up Atwater. We have a page for each of our outlets. So
check out Rivertown, check out Atwater in the Park.
Absolutely.
Check out the Grand Rapids one for sure. That's a great venue out over there. If you're in Texas, check out Atwater Austin 2017.
Coming up 2017.
My phone will not stop going off now.
See?
What? You had to post something like that. Way to go.
Doritos is what
definitely a great thing. I do want to make one mention, though, just so you guys know. I want to plug it just because great guests. Rich Weinkoff over at Schoolcraft College is doing a great job over there with the brewery and distillery program. So if you're interested in learning in a more structured format, go check out Schoolcraft College. Find out the culinary program over there for the brewery and distillery program. Simple, easy. I don't know what's going on over here. You guys are making a very
Everyone's
big...
Drunk. Him and his, they're just doing drunk things.
His basic trolling post found it on the shelf. Dude basically just already on a shelf in your basement.
There are people like just...
That's trolling the internet. End of story.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are people just sitting on this website just waiting for any content to come up.
And it comes up and he trolled them
hard. This is what we talk about for it to not happen. And well, then you just had
this conversation.
He would be trolling it if he called it macro swill like I do.
I'm trolling it for trolls though. I'm only waiting for like
he's
the
trolling
trolls
for
to come
trolls.
Out.
He's trolling for trolls.
So I'm doing
Skank Hunt 42.
He's counter trolling.
I'm doing God's
work. He's counter trolling. He's counter trolling.
Is that what they call taking one for the team?
No, that's trolling the trolls.
No, that's being counter trolling. That's being in a devil's three way.
Oh,
wow. Whoa.
We went there.
Are we joining barbershop talk now, or what are we doing?
We'll switch over to barbershop talk.
Are we moving?
We'll continue this conversation.
So is anything going on with Ellison upcoming since you're here? Yeah, anything you want to plug?
Well, since I'm here.
Carolina Reapers.
No? They're all the peppers are sitting in whiskey right now, so we're making a tincture with all of our local peppers and whiskey. The juice I shared with you guys, that special bottle release we did for our one-year anniversary, 30 barrels is being made next week, so we'll actually see our juice in distribution. And the canning line is, it's been ordered, and we just got a delivery date for the first week in December. So
that's going to be your own. You're not doing through Michigan Mobile.
No, we are doing our own canning. So first week in December, our canning line.
12s or 16s?
16s.
Oh, Michigan 8 coming
Joe
back.
Joe 4-packs? 4-packs?
4-packs.
Joe
16.
Joe 4-packs.
So.
No, Joe 6-pack.
No, Joey 6-pack.
The 870 tank.
We do like half of our sit-ups, so it'll be a 4-pack.
What's going to be the first line out, like the first beer out?
Crescent Fresh and Tiramisu Stout. We have our label approval for those two, and then we're thinking about adding a couple more. We've talked about Relativity and our Gnome's Amber.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yes.
Nice.
Anything coming up for Atwater? Any big events, deals, coming downtown, anything like that? You didn't come with plugs, but come on. You got to know what's going on in your brewery other than the beer.
Beer.
Listen here.
Hold on. Let me check my email and see what my events coordinator sent me.
You can check the email that I sent you a week ago that you didn't respond to.
No. I have things to plug here. Come on. Let's. Tomorrow from 8 to midnight. No, I'm not reading this.
Come out, try my beer.
No. 2017, rocking a new line of VJP. Nice. We're going to do a coffee series, all in bottles. So it's going to come out alongside the VJP line. It may not quite be VJP. It's going to have the Java. And
no vanilla?
No? Listen, the hazelnut will be fine by itself.
No,
so we got a lot of cool things coming out. Check the new IPA, Better Life Choices, Unfiltered.
It's an awesome name.
That's what happens when we're drunk. We make beer names, and that's
what happens.
He does that for a living.
That's the new IPA, is Better Life Choices. So first
he contracts out. He'll come up with names.
That's going to do it for the Better on Draft podcast, episode 57. Matt from Atwater, thank you for coming back. Sorry, guys, it's past 9 o'clock. Kaylin from Ellison, thanks for stopping by just for a minute. We appreciate you coming back out.
Thanks for letting me in the door.
Don't forget what you think of your beer. We think it's Better on Draft.
Peace out.